Brooke Smith is rediscovering Richmond. And today, Brooks, again, we're going to talk about the sesquicentennial of the Civil War and emancipation, some of the places and spaces around Richmond connected with that. And today, let's talk about Mr. Jefferson's Capitol, which served, of course, briefly as the Capitol building for the Confederate States of America. But it has been Virginia's capital since 1788, based on Thomas Jefferson's design, based on an old Roman temple he found in France.
That's right. We lay claim in Virginia to the oldest parliament on the mainland of the Western Hemisphere, dates back to Jamestown in 1619, was moved to Williamsburg in 1699, and as you say, was moved later to Richmond in 1779. The site itself was picked in 1780 and the cornerstone laid in 1785. And then since 1788, we've had our seat of government here. So we have some 223 years of accumulated history layered on top of itself right there on that 12-acre square.
That great building is now a National Historic Landmark, of course. And though it's been expanded and remodeled several times over the years, it still bears a striking resemblance to Jefferson's original plan.
And people in the architectural field say that it was really the first time in modern history that somebody looked back into the ancient world for inspiration, and it set this movement all across the country for public buildings that are modeled after old and wonderful Roman Greek temples.
Well, its connection, of course, with the Civil War was that at first a special state convention met there on whether to secede from the Union. And at first, Virginia declined to secede.
That's right. As historians will point out to all of us, Virginia was reluctant at first, remained in the Union until after the firing on Fort Sumter. And it was not until Lincoln's call for troops to suppress the insurrection down further south in April 1861 that Virginia voted to secede, a decision made by the Virginia Convention, which comprised 150 or so elected lawmakers, but not the General Assembly itself, which, of course, is sitting today up the hill in Richmond, but was not in session at the time.
And some Western Virginia counties never agreed to secede and eventually became the state of West Virginia.
That's an interesting sidelight that these Western counties did, in fact, assent in 1861. They set up their own separate form of government that later became the 35th state in the nation.
And then the Confederate capital was moved from Montgomery, Alabama to Richmond, I suppose because Richmond was so close to Washington, D.C., the Union capital, and because it was anticipated that much of the war would be conducted on Virginia soil, which in fact it was. So Mr. Jefferson's Capitol building became the seat of the Confederate Congress for a few years.
That's exactly right. The Congress of Confederate States met in the Capitol building from 1861 to 65. And at the end of the war, after the evacuation of Richmond, federal troops actually had to surround the Capitol to protect it from both fire and looters.
Richmond having been burned by the fleeing Confederate government in the final days of the war. And then Reconstruction came, and the building was the site of the adoption of the Reconstruction-era Constitution of Virginia.
That's right, sometimes referred to as the Underwood Constitution because of Judge Underwood who presided over the convention. But very significant now as we look back on our own city's history because, among other things, it extended the right to vote to all males over the age of 21, including blacks, and it established the state's first public education system, free public schools for everyone. Sadly, a constitution that was rolled back at the turn of the 20th century in the Jim Crow era in a 1902 series of constitutional amendments that rescinded and disenfranchised the rights of the blacks both to education and the vote.
So many other historical events, of course, have occurred there over the centuries, and today we're just touching on the connection of Virginia's Capitol building to the sesquicentennial of the Civil War and emancipation, which that observance beginning this year here in Virginia and elsewhere.
And I will say, of course, the grounds are speckled with monuments and statues to our past. The wonderful Houdon statue of George Washington in the rotunda and the great equestrian statue to our first president outside in the circle. The newest and perhaps longest overdue monument was erected in 2008 to commemorate the civil rights movement, and so much of our history layered on top of itself speaks to that moment in time.
Okay, our time's up for today, Brooks, so thanks very much. Brooks Smith, Rediscovering Richmond.